Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. It's the 19th day of March 2021, and glad you're here with me for a little bit. Just got some exciting things to share with you, just a fresh fire in the Lord, because we spent last night ministering to a woman that came to our group, just wanting some prayer ministry, some healing, some deliverance. It's just so amazing to see Jesus show up, because he loves to heal people. I tell you what, he loves to work out some of the things that go on the inside of us, maybe even things that we've carried for a long period of time. He is just all about the healing and deliverance. So giving him praise, got to see him in a whole new way yesterday. And so I love the new revelation, or just the fresh revelation of his love and everything that he is. Psalm 113 is where I'm going to start, although it's not ultimately where I'm going to end up. But it's just a psalm of praise to the Lord, and I'm going to start out reading that first. It says, praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and even forevermore, from the rising of the sun to its going down. The Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who dwells on high, but who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor out of the dust. He lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may seat him with the princes of his people. He grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, I love this part about Jesus. It says he humbles himself, or he stoops down, he bends low to behold the things that are in the heaven and the earth. And that was actually what I saw yesterday before going into this prayer ministry time. It's like Jesus, with a crown on his head, he bends over and he humbles himself to help us and to see the things that are going on in the kingdom. And he actually serves us. You know, he answers our prayers. So he is worthy of all praise. He has the highest name, the highest place, because he humbled himself even to the point of death. So, you know, it's just nothing like him. You know, being the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. It wasn't a power grab. It wasn't about just being the top name or being in control. It was actually to benefit and love others, all of us who needed him. So he's worthy. He's just worthy of that praise. And there are times that Jesus treats us like we're special. And I got to see that last night. It was just amazing. This was a special moment. It was a holy moment. And the person who received the ministry, oh my gosh, it was a life-changing time for her. And she was special. If I look at the definition of special, because I love definitions, it says better, greater, or otherwise different from what is usual. You know, special means maybe a little bit above average, or feeling like, or being treated like we're above average. You know, there's situations in life, there's relationships, there's events that happen that the enemy would want to make us feel like we're not special. Maybe we weren't treated special growing up. That's not what Jesus does. Jesus lets us know that we are special to him. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. So we are special to God. Of all the peoples on the face of the earth, the ones who are in his kingdom, the Bible says that we're special. Okay, above all others. That means we have the favor of God on our life. But guess what? We have verses like Luke 1:28, when the angel came to Mary and said, blessed are you among women, highly favored one. Okay, so here was someone who had even more extra special favor. Okay, Mary. And I do believe that in the kingdom, in the body of Christ, there are those who are highly favored. Okay, they've got a different assignment on their life. Therefore, there is a higher favor, a higher position. And of course, it's a position to serve others and to bring others into the fullness of their relationship with Jesus Christ. So if a person is highly favored, it's not for them, you know, just for the power grab, like we were talking about. It is actually so that person's life can be used to benefit the whole kingdom. So God does give highly favored positions in the kingdom. What we have to understand is that God chooses, okay? It says in the parable of the talents that each one was given according to their ability, all right? That person's ability to endure the crushing and the pressing that it takes to be in that position. I believe oftentimes we look at people who are in positions, we think, man, I want to do that. But man, if you knew the pain of the pressing and the crushing process, would you want it? So we have to have respect for the Lord and how he chooses, you know, to appropriate these things. We have to have respect for the person and honor that position. It's a heart position and just an understanding that to whom much is given, much will be required. All right. So would you want to go through what that person had to go through? I mean, would you want to go through the crushing, the pain? And because I tell you what, those things don't come easy. You know, God, even King, I think it's King Nebuchadnezzar, he finally got that revelation that, you know, those who lift themselves up in pride, God is able to bring low, and he gives the kingdom to the lowliest of men. You know, so I mean, that pressing and that crushing is bringing out a humility so that God can actually entrust us with greater things. He's a wise king. Okay. He knows what's in us. I want to just make one other comment about, you know, like the inner healing, you know, that we got to do last night. You know, Jesus is not so high-minded that he doesn't want to heal the deepest and darkest places. I mean, he's all about it. He will go into the deep and the dark, and then Holy Spirit will lead out. I mean, it's just being willing to humble ourselves and go into some of those trenches with God, so that others can be brought out. Amen. All right, we're going to look at James and John. This is found in Mark chapter 10. They called their mama. Actually, the passage in Matthew is when the mother comes to Jesus, but then James and John, I guess, were right there beside her. Verse 35, they came to Jesus saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." Jesus said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they answered, "Grant that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory," meaning in the kingdom. Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you're asking for. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they said to him, "We are able." In other words, they're saying, "We'll do it." Okay. So Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand, my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for those whom my Father has prepared it." So see, once again, the Father gets to choose, okay, who's going to be on Jesus' right hand and left hand, and who gets what position. But yeah, if you want to go in to greater things with Jesus, okay, do you know what you're asking for? I mean, are you really prepared? Because see, we don't get to jump to the promise without going through the process, is what it boils down to. Now, you know, when people want to do great things for the kingdom, we should never shame people for having visions, dreams, desires of greatness. You know that we were created for greatness. God didn't create us to be subpar. or ordinary, okay? I mean, there's a cleansing process. We read about that in 2 Timothy when he says, you know, there's vessels for honor, vessels for dishonor, but those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be a vessel of honor. So there's actually a cleansing process that we can go through. If we're a vessel of dishonor, we can actually go through the cleansing process and become a vessel of honor. Side note. But when people want to do great things in the kingdom, God has created us for greatness. God needs great things done in the kingdom right now. You know that, right? And I think he's needing them done kind of on the spot. You know, he's raised people up to do great things. So we should never shame people for their visions, their dreams, their desires, and wanting to aspire to some of these favored positions, okay? God's all about that too. But what we want is to communicate to them, okay, there's a personal cost. There is a price that has to be paid in order to carry that responsibility and that assignment well. All right? If you listen to my previous podcast this week, you know I turned 55. I mean, I'm not ancient, really, but I have walked with the Lord for a few decades. And the longer that you go with the Lord, you start to understand some things a little bit differently. You start to understand the Lord's processes and how he takes us from glory to glory to glory. Because, you know, it's growth. And this passage in 1 John chapter 2 begins with verse 12. John is writing about different stages. He says, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you've known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. And then it kind of repeats itself. But I like in verse 14 where he addresses the young men again. And this could be young women and spiritual mothers as well. It says, I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Well, you would think that would be all there is, okay? But actually, there is another stage to go through. There's another process to go through to become a spiritual mother and a father that actually releases these things for the next generation. And, you know, when you get to that stage, like, you know, you're the young man stage, the young woman stage, you've come up out of infancy, you're growing in the Lord, you're discovering your identity and all these things that you can do in the kingdom of God and, you know, overcoming the wicked one, there's power and authority, that we grow in, learning that, yes, the demons are indeed subject to the name of Jesus and, but yet to go into that next stage, the mother and the father stage, I want you to know that there's another process because the anointing that you carry, say like in your 20s and 30s, that anointing I've found doesn't sustain you in your later life. It's like we're supposed to be transformed from glory to glory to glory. I mean, until you hit your 40s and your 50s, I mean, you have no idea. You know, just the natural changes that take place in life. And I think someone just needs to give some young people a heads up. You know, you're in a great season right now. But guess what? There's more pressing. There's more crushing to become the spiritual mother and father. Okay? Think about this mother and dad thing as opening doors for others. If you've got a small child, they can't reach the doorknob, or maybe it's just a real heavy door they can't press through. Here comes mom and dad, and they open the door for the child, and the child is able to walk through. To me, that is just a beautiful image of what happens in the kingdom of God when you've got younger people that are trying to grow, but the door is too heavy for them. But you take a spiritual mother and father who's been through some stuff, they've got a spiritual strength, they can open the door easily and allow that young one to pass through. Now, the spiritual mother and father has to use some wisdom, okay, about which child to let through that door or whether or not that child needs to go into that other room. What are their intentions anyway? You know, or is this one that we need to allow, you know, access to? So, sometimes as spiritual moms and dads, you know, we have to use that wisdom and open doors. We don't pass on what God has given to us and pour it into a bucket with holes, right? I mean, it's, we have to discern, you know, the person and what it is that God wants to do. We have to be listening to the Holy Spirit. But if you're a young person and you see someone who is further down the road spiritually, and you're thinking, man, God, I want to be able to do that. The best thing you can do is honor the gift that is on that person, because it is through honor that things will be transferred into your life as well. I mean, you might see someone further down the road. What do? You just run up next to them and say, hey, can I hang out with you for a while? And then you serve them. You serve alongside them. You honor them. And through the process, things will be imparted. Things will be transferred, because that's how the kingdom of God is supposed to work. I mean, if you think about it, some of the processes, the trials we go through, you know, they could take us maybe 4 or 5 years to get through something, maybe 6 months. But we come out of it with truth. We come out of it with a one-sentence liner that it's like, this is what I got out of that season. It could be a verse. It could be a revelation. And then we can take that one-sentence liner and pass it on to the next generation in an anointed moment of the Holy Spirit. And that can become their truth as well. We can actually knock years off of their process through, you know, passing on what God has done for us. If each generation has to learn everything on their own, look at the time that takes. And we, as the older ones, we can actually save them a lot of time if they are humble enough to receive it, if they have that hunger and the wisdom, you know, to receive from another generation. So, you know, position yourself around people who are further down the road from you, because fire catches, all right? The fire that's on that person will catch. It'll ignite you too, all right? Let's just look at a couple of examples or talk about them in Scripture. Elisha and Elijah, okay? Elisha served Elijah. I think the Scripture says poured water on his hands. It means he served him. And as a result, Elisha was able to catch the mantle, double portion of what was on Elijah, the anointing. Another example, Joshua and Moses. Joshua got to go up on the mountain with Moses. Joshua hung out in that tent, tabernacle of meeting, just stayed in the presence of God. And then, of course, when it came time to go into the promised land, Joshua was the one that took up Moses' assignment. So you see a lot of examples of that in Scripture. Of course, my favorite one is Jesus, when he said, greater works than these will you do, you know, where he passes on to us the work of building his church. So, okay, there's a price to pay. There is a personal cost to go into higher levels with God. And so we get to decide whether or not we're going to pay the price, you know. And if we choose, no, that's too costly. You know, the Bible even talks about that in the Gospels. He says, you know, you first count the cost, okay, and then make your decision. And God will bless you either way. Okay, but if you decide to go through the pressing, if you decide to go through the crushing, you worship all the way through, no matter what it is you got to go through. How to know if you're highly favored? You might find yourself in some fire. Okay, you might find yourself in some things, but I'll tell you what, it's going to be worth it all. He has promised that. Okay, so God bless you. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for the way that you work in our life. I want to thank you for your ways, God. Thank you for your favor. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that even in the pressing and in the crushing, the essence of Christ is released from our life. Father, I know that sometimes I think my shield looks really battered and worn. Sometimes I think I'm covered with scars and my clothes are all ratted and I look really, really broken. You know, just trials of life and things that we go through. I thank you that it's you in me. I thank you that it's your power and that you are the one that shines. And Father, I just pray. And when people see me, they see you. I pray when people come to me, that they experience you. It's in your name. Amen. You have a great weekend. I may be back through the weekend. We'll find out. But until next time.